Blog Talk Radio.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London. Off to my left, far away in the distance, I can see just that faint, red, angry snap of anti-aircraft bursts against this steel-blue sky. About 5 minutes ago, the guns in the immediate vicinity were working. I was up here earlier this afternoon and looking out over these housetops, looking all the way to the dome of St. Paul's. I saw many flags flying from staffs. No one ordered these people to put out the flags. They simply feel like flying the Union Jack above their roofs. No one told them to do it, and no flag up there was white.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
I'm out of my own, walking the streets. Look at the things that I meet. I feel like I want to go home. What do I feel? What do I know? But I still believe. I still believe.
Good evening and welcome to the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on brooktalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight's banner for the show is English Defence League radio show, Telford Debriefing. And I've got to thank Dave for the slides and the scripting. Just had a few problems yesterday. But I'd like to continue. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell, that's me, and my panellists this evening are Jan the Tornado Rene and Dave Agador Milner. Unfortunately, I don't think our Jan can join us this evening because she's on an assignment. But let me continue. Tonight we'll be talking about yesterday's Telford demonstration. It wasn't the biggest, not the biggest turnout, but as other demonstrations in London took precedence over Old Telford, event, I would like to say to all of our foot soldiers, angels and supporters of the course, bless you all. As I say, I've got to say before, and it's not in the part of the script as such, but I will say I do know that the speeches was read out yesterday. And that is something that really worried a lot of us before, that the speeches couldn't be read because they were drowned out. But it seems, I haven't seen anything untoward to say anything otherwise than that, that the speeches was read out. So well done to everybody, and bless you all, and great job. I've all said this, it's like Winston Churchill says, so much was done by so few. You could say that when we have a smaller demonstration than maybe normal, that is the situation. These are the hard core of our demonstrators, you know, the real EDLers, the veteran EDLers. And that's what I'm saying. You know, they are putting their feet on the street. They're putting their hands in their pocket. They are getting their transport to our destinations, what we've had. So everybody's got to realise, you might see we have opposition. Of course it's opposition. They're paid opposition by the government. This illegal government. But anyway, let me continue, because I'll go on one. And supporters of the cause, bless you all. Onward and forward. As our movement goes on, we will continue to bring you, our great listeners, the truth that the fake stream media refuses to. No surrender, ever. And with that, I'd like to bring on a great man this evening, and my colleague, Dave Agador Milner. He just came through the door. There we go. Go on, Dave.
Yeah, good evening to you, Jeff. Yeah, I'm just going to scoop up a couple of handfuls of the chocolate biscuits here. Good evening to everybody in the UK.
Biscuit crumbs everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah,
yeah. Always have to sweep the place out when the show's over. Good evening, everybody, to the UK, and good evening to and good afternoon to everybody in the States, and hello to everybody around the world, and off Earth, of course, and to all of our friends in the Crab Nebula. Now, we have got a really big show. I feel like an old show host here in the United States years ago. Man, we have a really big show here. Anyway, got a busy weekend, Jeff. A little bit, but I have to say, first of all, to the demonstration, because some of the left were making a big deal out of the fact that there weren't that many from the EDL there. As long as the speeches get read out, and as long as the voice gets heard, and the voice is for the voice of the children, the people that can't speak for themselves, who are being savaged by, frankly, who are being ravaged by the savages, then the goal is reached. Okay, and they can talk about numbers all they want, but as long as the good people are allowed to go in and do what they need to do, then in my eyes, it's a success. Now, they can count on numbers and all that stuff, but hey, if we got in and did it, it was a success. And as you said, Jeff, they're opposition people. It happens here in the United States, too. It's paid opposition. They get paid a certain amount, every hour, and they get, like, food and drinks as well, and transportation, free transportation, all of that. They don't pay for any of it. And, you know, all they have to do is go out there and act an ass. But the EDL had a mission there to bring to light the fact that there still hasn't been substantive change in that area when it comes to the issue of child sex rape and child sex slavery, right? And that mission was fulfilled. And as you said, Jeff, I have a pride in them, and I'm glad they got to do what they did, you know. Now, brother.
Well, I agree, Dave. I agree. We should continue. I just want you to continue. Please continue, Dave.
Well, I didn't have much else to say except that on Thursday, we were in the midst of playing an interview with Gerard Batten on LBC, which took place on the 6th of April.
Yep.
And our friend Jan Rennie dropped in. And, of course, you know, we always have to speak with Jan when she comes in, of course. And I, you know, Jeff made the decision that, you know, we had one more to go out of a three-part interview section. And we decided to forego doing the last one. Okay. And, you know, that you know, we always love talking to Jan. It was a tremendous show when she was here. So, we went ahead with that, and we had a great...
I'm not sure, Dave. Just to give you a bit of a heads up, Dave, I've got a number there. I don't know if it is Al Jan. Unfortunately, there was a problem with, you know, it normally lets you know when you're in the queue, and it wasn't telling us, so she'd raise her hand. And I'm not sure this number... But I think it is.
I don't.
It's a UK number, as such, Dave, and I'm not sure if that's Al Jan or not. So I'm not sure whether to actually see if it's Jan or just bring the caller in. Dave, what should we do? Should we bring this call? He hasn't raised a hand or anything like that, so I don't know. So. Unfortunately, that's what Jan was telling us, that she wasn't told, you know, she wasn't getting a lot of information to raise your hand or do anything like that. So, but I do
well,
say we have got...
after Thursday, Jeff...
Sorry, Dave?
You know, I know after Thursday, she knows that she should raise her hand if that is her. And that looks like a Washington, D.C. area code to me, Jeff. You know, I'm not going to say what it is, just to give that, if it's just somebody that wants to listen,
to
give you anonymity, I won't give out your area code, but that looks like a Washington, D.C. area code to me. But Jan,
it's
if that
gone.
Is you,
it's
oh, okay, it's okay, well, then it's not an issue, there you go. Jan knows Jeff to give you a holler.
I would have done the favour and I would have brought them in if I knew exactly, you know, if they wanted to come in and to actually discuss the issues that we're talking about this evening. But unfortunately, when we were talking about it, Dave, they are back. They have just they have returned, Dave.
Well,
so,
you know, again, if somebody wants to come on, Jeff, they'll raise their hand, though. Remember, they might be just wanting to listen to the show.
The call that's it's in the studio, or the call that's called in. If you want to come on the show, please press 1. If you're on the phone or whatever, press 1, or do whatever the other thing says. But normally it's pressing 1.
Yeah.
So if you want to come on and share your thoughts with us for this evening, please do. We love our calls, don't we, Dave? Our callers. So without further ado, I'll pass it back to Dave, because we were talking about Gerald Batten, that there was like a three-part, four-part of the episode that we was doing on the Thursday.
Right.
And we didn't quite complete the last part of the what he had to say. And I thought it was great what he had to say.
That's
what we was leading into, Dave, before we continue with other stories, etc.
It is. Yeah, and this one here is about 8.5 minutes long. It's the last of the interview. This is one where it kind of sums up. You know, if you listened on Thursday, you could tell that the interviewer is very combative. He was very, upset and everything about the language that Gerard Batten used, which was only true.
He was establishment, Dave. I know that guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, folks, I'm going to go ahead with Jeff's permission and play this last bit. And then we'll comment on it, and we'll get on with some other stuff, because we do have a few things to talk about today. Jeff, you ready?
Yep, you go for it, Doug.
All right. Okay, guys, here you go. This is Gerard Batten on LBC, and this was done on the 6th. Okay, this is the last part of that interview.
I think there are some things which are so big that they are monopolies by their very nature. With that, I would agree with Jeremy Corbyn on one of the very few. Actually, we agreed on the EU for about 40 years, and he decided to change his policy. But if you're going to call me right wing, Matt, tell me what right wing is. Please,
you define extreme right wing.
Why would you? What? Define what that means.
Because you're Islamophobic. You stir up hatred, you know, against minorities in this country. You know, and you liken EU leaders to Adolf Hitler. I mean, that is just unacceptable.
Matt, I talk about an ideology. I don't like totalitarian ideologies. I don't want to live under one, whether it be a left wing, right wing, or Islamic.
But you're not living under one. You're living in a
exactly.
democracy.
Exactly, and I want to keep it that way, which is why I'm defending it. And I do not want to live, and I don't want my descendants to live under an Islamic totalitarian system.
Which they're not about to.
Well, they would if they lived in an Islamic country like Saudi Arabia or Bahrain, where they brought back Sharia.
But we're not in Saudi Arabia. We're in Britain.
Exactly, now we are. But let's keep it that way. Let's defend it and keep it that way.
Is there any suggestion that it might not be that way?
In the future, yes.
Come on. Well, you don't really believe that, do you?
In the future, yes.
What, you think they'll be showing it all in Britain?
Yes. Are they the fundamentalists and the literalist interpreters, who are the people that I have a problem with, these are saying that that's what they want in Britain in the long term.
Well, I mean, the Scientologists want us all to live on a distant planet in the long term. It's not going to happen.
There aren't more and more Scientologists.
You say that. I mean, come on, you've got to, the trouble is, this is the problem with people like you, is that you take
people like
tiny
me.
People like you, extremists.
I'm extremist.
You are an inflammatory.
You know, Matt, we live in a surreal world.
You take something that's, you know, a niche opinion.
It's not a niche opinion.
A niche opinion, and you say this is going to be what's running our country.
A majority,
is just nonsense.
If somebody, if they are a literalist or fundamentalist or indeed a good Muslim, should want to live under Sharia law, because that's what it says.
But we're talking about a tiny minority within minorities.
Well, how do you know they're a tiny minority?
You have so little faith
in
the British democratic system, in the values of the society, that you'll think we're about to turn into Saudi Arabia. Seriously,
The primary job of a politician is to prevent preventable evils. And that doesn't mean tomorrow. It means 10 years and 20 years and 30 years in the future. And if we had more politicians who could think long term, we'd be better off. And that's what I'm concerned about. What's the long term future of this country? Matt, I could retire next week because I'm 65 last week. I could go and forget about it. Oh, God, why am I bothering with all this? I do it because I have children and I have relatives, and I don't want them living in a country that I can see will not be as good as the country that I grew up in, and that's what I'm trying to defend. And it's a funny old world, isn't it, now, where you're accused of being a right-wing extremist when you want to defend your own constitution, your own laws, your own tradition, your own democratic parliamentary government.
But the constitution, you know, the traditions, the values of this country are not under threat from Islamic extremism. They are just not.
They're not.
I mean, at the moment, they're not functioning very well because of indecision about Brexit, but they are not under threat from Islamic extremism.
You see, Matt,
this is dog whistle politics.
You've used the term people like me, so I'll use the term people like you, who live in this kind of liberal elite.
No, I'm not. You don't know anything about my politics.
Well, you don't know anything about mine, really.
Well,
you just called me a right-wing extremist.
You're a politician. You're the leader of a party.
You just called me a right-wing extremist.
I just read out all
these... But you see, you belong to that group of people who just want to live in this cloud cuckoo land where it's not a problem, it's not going to be a problem in the future, so people like me must be wrong because they talk about it.
There's a difference between talking about it and raising it as, you know, a fundamental threat, you know, of this country. Let's talk about the elections again, the European parliamentary elections. So UKIP was elected with 24 MEPs last time round, which, you know, massive chunk, and now you've got how many?
Seven.
So what happened to the others?
Quite a few of them left before I took over. Some of them have left, I think, some of them have said they don't like what I'm doing. Okay, so why didn't they stay? One thing I would say about all of these people, they signed a pledge when they became MEPs for UKIP that said if they left the party for whatever reason, they would hand the seat back to UKIP to the next person on the UKIP list. When, I can't remember who it was now, somebody left, Nigel Farage castigated them for not doing that. And then he went and left and did exactly the same thing. If he didn't like what I was doing, if they didn't like what I was doing, they should have stayed in the party, said, you know, we know Gerard a long time, which they have, we all got on fine. We don't agree with what he's doing. We are going to oppose him. When the leadership comes up for election in 12 months' time, because I only took it on for 12 months to save the party, we're going to run someone against him. Nigel could have run against me. Why didn't they do that?
Right. But the fact is that you lost all these MEPs. How will, you know, you've got all these different parties now presumably competing for the same bit of political real estate in these EU elections, if we actually take part of them. How can you, you know, solve that problem? I mean, how can you get them all under one umbrella?
Interesting as well, in the second term in which I served from 2009 to 2014, Nigel Farage managed to lose 45% of the MEPs, and at one point I was joking that it might just be me and him left there together in the Parliament as UKIP. How are we going to get them together?
Do you see his party as a threat, by the way? Do you see Nigel Farage's new party as a threat?
First of all, it's just him and a name. They don't have any...
But he's got a lot of charisma, doesn't he? I mean, he's a good campaigner.
I've always given him full credit for that. He's a brilliant performer. But his party is just him. It's a name. They're not going to have a proper structure. They don't have members. They have subscribers. They don't have a national executive governing body, because he doesn't want that. And even yesterday, they were putting out an email to their subscribers, inviting people to be candidates and charging them £100 a time to be assessed. It's going to be declared next week. And a week before, they're still selecting the candidates. We've been doing it for months.
Are you too busy hating each other to actually come up with a unified message?
I've got a unified message, the same one I've had for 26 years.
But all the other lot who are competing for your votes.
Unconditional, unilateral withdrawal, no surrender, no compromise. It's a simple message which leavers can understand and vote for. No hedging about, no qualifying, no ifs and buts.
If we take part in these elections, you're back in the European Parliament, will you carry on giving the kind of speeches that you've given before, which have got you ticking off, and I think even a fine from the European Parliament.
No. The person who complained about what I said wanted me reported to the president. So we'll see what they do. Quite frankly, I don't care what they do, because if they suspend me for a while, it'll just see my vote go up even more in the European election. So I'll be quite happy for them to do that. They did it to Nigel, if you may remember, when he called Rumpoy a wet dishcloth, and Nigel said it was the best thing they ever did for him.
And will you be obstructive in the European Parliament?
We never vote for EU legislation. We have a clear policy, which all our candidates sign up to, which is we don't recognise their legitimate, democratic, legitimate right to legislate over us. We oppose all legislation. We only vote for amendments within legislation where that returns power to the nation state, and that doesn't happen very often.
So why are you even campaigning to sit in a parliament whose existence you fundamentally don't believe in?
Because it has... This is one of the strange tricks of history, in that we can win in European elections because it's proportional representation. So we do, in order to represent the British people who want to leave, and we promote that message. And I can't wait for the day when we have proportional representation in the House of Commons. We have a reformed House of Lords, where we have a PR-elected second amending chamber, and then we'll see how people like my party get on and how other parties get on, and accept the democratic outcome, rather than the stitched-up, managed, corrupt system we've got now.
And the language that you've been using, again, I get back to these words like, you know, death cult when it comes to Islam, you know, comparing EU leaders to Adolf Hitler, all that stuff, which clearly plays very well with, you know, with some of the audience. Can we expect more of that, or are you going to turn that down?
I will always say what I believe at the time. And in fact, I've never had to retract anything. You don't like what I've said, but I can defend it. So I've not actually had to apologise.
But it makes you a pariah in British politics, doesn't it?
Does it? Well, I'm not bothered about
Former deputy leader of your party said, you know,
was
an anti-Islamic, perverse direction. Nigel Farage, not exactly, you know, a moderate in the political landscape of this country, has called you unacceptable. I mean,
what matters in the final analysis is how many people votes for you. Politics is about votes. And if people vote for me, I'm happy. If they don't, fair enough. I don't have to do this. I'm doing this out of sense of duty and responsibility.
And there you go, folks. And you're listening to EDL Radio, by the way. Jeff, what do you think, brother?
Well, this was... the interviewer was someone, as Barton said, someone who lives in their own little bubble, who doesn't see what happens in communities like we've seen across the country, up and down the country. That's why we were at Telford yesterday. I mean, he doesn't see it. He doesn't really care. And the reason why? Because it doesn't affect him or his establishment friends. It was quite obvious this was sent. He was sent specially to do this interview because he's a part of the establishment. And you hear the way he's talking, looking down his nose at people like Gerald Batten, who's doing a great job, and he speaks his mind. And this is what pisses off a lot of people, because he speaks out for what we speak on this radio show week in, week out. Well, you know, I put soldiers and angels on the streets, different demonstrations that we do, because they go to the places that they don't want to discuss. You know, they don't want to discuss there's poor kids being dragged into cars and moved across different parts of the country and raped and groomed and passed around. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about it. Maybe it's a bit close to home when they talk about things like that. With the situation where Melanie Shaw, you know, we think of Melanie Shaw. I think about her all the time, Dave. The hell that that woman's going through. And she's been put away indefinitely because she's the whistleblower, because she knows exactly who these MPs were that was grooming and raping these children. And a lot of it was done between the two lots, the jihadists passing them to the MPs. It's just incredible. But that is it. It's out there, and they don't like it. And people like Melanie Shaw, who I think's rather, she's a martyr. It's not a time I will look at her as being a martyr of what she's had to go through, to speak out about it. Children being murdered, which she's seen on numerous occasions, but kids being thrown out of windows. And we all keep, I'll keep talking about it until they bang me away. Because Melanie Shaw is a whistleblower, and she speaks out for those kids who hasn't got the voice. And that's why they had to put away, because she's a bit too close to home. So that is what it is all about. We know how dark and evil these people in Parliament are. That. We've seen it. We know Cyril Smith. Cyril, there you go. There's one for you guys. Cyril, that big fat bastard. He was a part of the Jimmy Savile mob. Dirty scumbag. That him and many, many others was involved with what's been going on over the last 30 years in this country. Mm-hmm. So, Gerald Batten is speaking out. He speaks with the people. We, the people. And that's why a lot of people are going to vote for Mr. Gerald Batten. And anybody who wants to vote for this elitist twat, what's his name? Farage?
He's
in line with the Conservatives. Don't you think this is all about splitting your vote? Gerald said that.
It takes about
15 years or so to have yourself a party that you can go and combat the other two main parties out there. Dave, sorry, mate, I took over a little bit, but it's just that Melanie Shaw's on my mind this evening. When we're sitting talking on computers, and God knows what this woman's going through. I'll say for everybody out there listening to the radio show, and I said it last week, please pray for Melanie. She needs your prayers. She needs your prayers, you know. Dave,
It's understandable, Jeff, and you know I have two things to say. That first of all, Nigel Farage. I mean, over in the United States, from our American brothers and sisters, Nigel Farage is trying to get together something he calls the Brexit Party. It's the put 100 pounds a pop for candidates in Nigel Farage's pocket. So he can split the vote party because, you know, looking at the polls, and I usually don't trust polls, but the Conservative Party has gone down tremendously in the polls. And of course, we didn't even need to look at the polls, did we, Jeff? Because they've gone down in the estimation of the people of the UK because they were expecting the Conservatives to look after Brexit, and they have done anything but look after Brexit. And so now UKIP has a better chance, I feel, than ever before. And suddenly in rides Nigel Farage, as Mr. Batten pointed out, you know, a few years after he didn't want anything more to do with Brexit, with UKIP, but now he wants to form his own party and put up his own candidates, and that's going to split the vote. And yes, Jeff, you were absolutely right. You know, he's working for the establishment. He's working for the conservatives. The guy's a fake. He's a phony. He's a spoiler. He's a piece of crap. Now, Jeff, I want to address one other thing. Now, the interviewer, this Matt, Churl on this interview with Gerard Batten, was saying, oh, well, this is just a niche opinion. You know, it's not very widely held. There's no chance in the world that the UK is going to become like Saudi Arabia. And it's too bad that he didn't have anything to say about the various laws involving race hatred, hate speech laws, things of that nature. In other words, there's a double standard, Jeff, as we've spoken of many times on this show, between Muslims and non-Muslims. What a Muslim can get away with and what a non-Muslim can get away with. And I want to play, a one-minute cut. This is something that happened as a result of a traffic dispute on the 5th of March in 2017. So this was about 2 years ago, and this was an opinion of a Muslim, and then I have something to say after. So, Jeff, I want to play this right now. Is it okay?
Yeah, go ahead,
mate. Yeah. You know what I'm going to play. Okay, guys, here you go.
Yeah,
this is the ADL radio show. Yeah, here you go.
Yeah?
Have you got?
I fucking live in this country, you prick.
Yeah, me too.
Fucking knobhead. Best one in Pudima, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, called by your mum, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You're not allowed.
Yeah?
You're not allowed.
I'll fucking move your fucking phone out my face before I smack it one. You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You are a son of a bitch.
You are. Look at you. You eat pork and you fucking look like pork.
Yeah.
You fucking pig. You fucking pussy.
Yeah. This is racist.
Yeah. How's that
racism?
I call you a poor bastard. I call you a white bastard.
Race or religion?
Oh,
race,
really?
Man.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. Pull the fence, please, Alan.
I want to
see what this motherfucker's going to do.
Gangster.
Yeah. Your mum's a gangster, you son of a bitch. Fuck off. Yeah, fuck you. Fucking stupid bitch. Is that your country?
You don't even try.
You fucking swoop.
You don't even try
to
do that.
Leave your fucking shit and move it then.
My apologies for the language. I've got spaced out a bit. But,
yeah.
Just to our listeners who might have children listening. My apologies about some of the language that was used on the tape. But that is just, these people being who they are. Disgraceful.
Yeah.
But Dave, thank you so much for that. Yeah, go ahead,
now,
Robbie. You wanted to comment.
Yeah, now my comment on this, Jeff, and I think you know what I'm going to say, is that this was a Muslim talking to a non-Muslim. And yes, the police did look into it, and he was given a psychological referral and turned loose. No fine, no jail time, no nothing. But if it had been reversed, if it had been a non-Muslim speaking to a Muslim that way, that was a little over 2 years ago now, Jeff, right? About 2 years and a month, more or less, plus a week.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
That, you know, that person might still be in prison. That non-Muslim might still be in prison for racially aggravated harassment. That is the situation that the people in the UK are living in right now. And this is for those who are living outside the UK. And that is the sort of thing that the left wants in all the civilized countries. It is a double standard, and it's appalling. Okay, so that interviewer was just flat out lying. The UK government, and I'm sure Jeff will agree with me, is now a Sharia compliant government. It allows Mohammedans to get away with things that
it would never allow an illegal parliament, I would say. There is legal representation out there that's going to combat. It's already going. It's already been presented. Article 50 was illegal. So this should be interesting as the case comes to light. More, it's out there. I forget the gentleman, Robert Tilsworth, or something. He's a gentleman that put it up. He's a very, very intelligent man. Actually, he's a solicitor of sorts, and so he does know the law, and he put some legal paperwork in. I think it was done on the Monday after the 29th of March, which legally we left the EU, no matter what they say in Parliament, whatever, we still left. As far as I was concerned, we still left. And all those that speak in now, this is an illegal assembly. And anybody that works for them are illegal. I would say you see the police, the bully boys, call themselves police, that they do not represent the police establishment as what they used to be. These are working for those that's an illegal representation of the people. Dave, I wanted to put that fact out, because anybody that works for them at this moment now, from that date, after the 29th of March, 11 p.m, become illegal. So I think that says it all, that anybody that works on their behalf is illegal with what they do. So that we need to get the things sorted out as soon as possible, because, you know, this is wrong. They killed our democracy. Basically, they have killed our democracy. And that's it. You know, we know. We've spoken about this a couple of times, haven't we, Dave? And our listeners know exactly what we our views on this whole situation. Like a lot of enraged people across the United Kingdom, not only across the United Kingdom, but across the world, it knows exactly what's going on. Even though the mainstream media doesn't want to report on it, we will. We will. People like ourselves, we're citizen journalists, and we will report on exactly how things are in this country. And, please go ahead, Doug.
That's true. And, you know, I've seen those. And, you know, it's just... Now, I want to read, this is kind of off the grid from what we were expecting to do, but that's the way this show works, Jeff. I just want to read very briefly a headline, and we will get into some other stuff in the second half of the show, but I want us just to speak about this just very briefly before, we hit a tune and, go into our mid-show break here. And Jeff, that's one you're going to want to call back in for and hear, because it's one that the Jan gave to me. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Oh, nice one.
Brand new. Now, this is just one off of the Voice of Europe, okay? And this is infuriating. Yeah. This is Nigel Farage. He says the Brexit Party is supposed to be UKIP, but without the far right. See, I mean, that right there tells you everything you need to know about this guy. His phoniness, his fakeness, everything else. I mean, the guy is just a slime ball. We saw both this, Jeff, and we played the audio for it, what he did, in regard to what he said in regard to Tommy Robinson and what he did with, I believe this was Abu Yemeni when he asked him about the threat of Islam. The guy is ready, in my opinion, to do whatever is necessary to be done to promote himself. This isn't about Brexit, or anything like that. He's a good orator and everything. But really, in the end, it's about him promoting himself and strutting around and playing at large.
You can't trust the flip.
Oh yeah, 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 absolutely, yeah. I'm just going to read the subhead here, Jeff. And I gave you that for the chat there, the story. Nigel Farage, the leader of the new Brexit Party, says his anti-EU group will mirror UKIP on policies. But when it comes to personnel, there will be a vast difference with no far-right faction. And this is the original of that comes from RT. But this is clearly a reference. Now, he doesn't – let me see if he mentions Tommy Robinson. But that clearly is at least a hint about Tommy Robinson because Nigel Farage doesn't like Tommy Robinson, And that's the thing,
because he's a working class chap. That's why he doesn't like him.
There it is.
Tell you what it is. He just doesn't like working class people.
No, Jeff,
that's
here it is.
And that's
man.
What Tommy Robinson is. He speaks on behalf of the working class people.
Here it is, man.
Sorry, mate.
Paragraph. Yeah. Oh, no. Paragraph two. Okay. I was right. Paragraph two. Speaking to BBC for his Today program, Farage, who quit UKIP in December due to what he saw as leader Gerard Batten's, quote, obsession, end quote, with former head of the EDL, Tommy Robinson. That's the excuse he's giving anyway, as we know, claims his Brexit party will not have such far-right individuals. No, we don't want all those riffraff in our party. They want... God, what a turd this guy is.
I don't know why they call Tommy Robinson far-right, because he's about as in the middle as you possibly could be, Dave. I mean, it's unbelievable. Far-right? You know, it's unbelievable. But that's what we all are to the Farages and the Mays and the treacherous ones out there. We're all labelled as far right because we speak out against them. That's it, Dave. Yeah. Go ahead, mate. Sorry.
And I think, no, Jeff, don't apologize, because I think this is a part of it. This is almost getting almost to the point where the word racist is, there was a time when the word racist had deep implications. Now it's just a political football that people throw around here in the United States and kick around there in the UK. It practically has no meaning anymore. Okay, it's just a smear with no meaning and no proof and no anything. It's just a marketing technique. You know, it's almost as if you're trying to sell cheeseburgers and you're saying that they're nice and juicy. Okay. It has zero meaning. That's what we're talking about, the fakeness and the phoniness of Farage. And for God's sake, people, I'm an American and I'm sure that what I'm saying will be seen as interference. But all I can say is that you should examine closely Farage's talk about Tommy Robinson and his talk about people like you, people who want Islam put under control, because it needs to be under control. All right, and at that point, make your decision. Yeah. Do you want to vote for this guy with his new party that hasn't had any time to establish itself, or do you want to vote for UKIP? Which is a party that is well established and is getting some real candidates out there,
I think 1,400. I did say 1,500, but it must be close to approaching that. But Gerard said that it was like 1,400. That's a lot of candidates, Dave. But just the final thought of with the Farage saga. let's not forget what Steve Bannon said when he was over here, when he was in the studio, and he was talking to, I forget what radio station it was on, but Farage was there. I think it was LBC. I was saying, it's got to be LBC, and it's got to be. And the producer, or whoever it was, and Steve Bannon called him out for what it was. He said, I'm done with talking to yous. You are the elite. And Farage, he says, and you can just F off, basically. And then he stormed out of the studio. And I laugh, right? Of course, we know Steve Bannon will tell you the way it is. He don't hold back, does he, Dave? You know, and you knew right away with what he said, that really and truthfully, he's got his fingers on the pulse. He knew exactly what this Farage was all about. He read him like a book.
Sure.
His face is an open book for people to really read. Just read him, look in his eyes. He's laughing at you. When he talks to you, the people, he's laughing at you. You see the way he smirks all the time? He's thinking, and I'm doing him over like a kipper. That's an old saying we use over here, Dave. I'm laughing about it because I'm going to be a rich man again very soon. Really, Dave, that is his thoughts. That's how he thinks.
I'm sure.
He says about he'll make us a great. He'll make his own pockets great. People like me and people like Tommy Robinson and many others he don't care about us. He don't care about the working class people in this country. He hasn't got a plan for the working class people, has he? All he is about Nigel Farage. You know, he looks at himself every day in the mirror. Who's a pretty boy then? Who's a pretty boy? Oh, I am. Nigel, you are. It's like that. What is it worth for people who, you know,
who
can't get around? What do they call it, people, David? Narcissist.
Narcissist.
Yeah. Farage is a narcissist.
True enough. Well, Jeff, you know what, man? If you want to call back in, I'm pretty sure you're going to want to call back in and hear this and hear this song for the break.
Okay,
mate. You know, because this Jen gave this to me, you know, a day or two ago, and I finally had time to review it. And I have to say, guys, that this song here is pretty well solid gold. and you know, it's a bit of a giggle. And there's a little video that goes on with it. It's the only sad part about this, guys, is that I don't have the artist. Now, maybe Jan, when you know, I contact her again, will share that name with me, and you know, I can get you guys I can get you guys the artist that put the song out. But in the meantime, what we can do is once Jeff comes back, we can listen to the song. But while we're waiting on Jeff to get back in, you know, I'll just say that here's Jeff. All right. Okay, guys.
You.
There it is. Okay, now, please stay tuned for the second half of the English Defense League radio show and enjoy this great tune. Here we go.
I'm a simple lad from Kent. My way to Parliament. I want to meet Theresa May. My sat nav says this is the way. I like driving in my car. While thinking a la Rue Akbar. Oh, maybe it's because I'm an Islamist that I hate this country so. Maybe it's because you're an infidel that'll knock you down wherever you go. I get a righteous feeling inside of me as I accelerate. Maybe it's because we're establishing a global caliphate. Too slow, under me 4x4 you go. If I catch a copper, I'll slash his fucking face. Knees up, line the appease up, knees up, London town. All these believers have to die. Under the wheels or in the drink, whether you're a frog or a anchor or a chink. And oh, he's so merciful, he's so bleeding merciful. Oi! I'm a fella waging jihad for the fella in the sky. I read last week online in Dabbeek about this vehicular technique. Building bombs is tricky. Guns are hard to buy, so I'm a fella waging jihad in my little Hyundai. Oh, this mess, Ben Bullock, what a car crash, shit, what a car crash, what a bloody mess. I drove straight right into a gate, but I swear it was deliberate. I'm here, two strikes here, instant believers are, oi, what a scripture, stood at the Imran 151, I read it in the Noble Quran. Oh, you won't stop talking. You say I'm under arrest. Hey. I've got a Nazi in the glove box. Would you prefer it in your chest? Hey. Well, I dream of stabbing someone every night in bed. The honourable member for Maidenhead. But I'll gladly stab an interfering copper instead. With your oppressive policing, you'll be coming a pest.
Stabby,
And that was the latest jihad pop tune. Now, we don't have normal pop tunes in Islam because it is haram. But that was released for the jihadists. Dave Olsen.
That was a solid gold find from Jan and Jeff. You know, I agree with you. That's number one on the jihadi charts with a machete. So there you are.
Ah, yes, yes. A free machete every time you order one of the copies. There you go. Fellow jihadists out there.
Yeah.
Is that the album, Dave, called Allah Akbar? Get your own or something.
I think it might be. Yeah, you know, but one of the things I find about it that's so funny is you have so many of these Islamic converts now in the UK, you know, that they're not Arabic. See, this is something that, this is actually a stereotype that people have. They don't understand the Islamic ideology that it brings in people. There are all kinds of Islamists, Mohammedans, people of that nature. They don't have to be Arabic or African or anything. They can be anyone. Anybody can be a Muslim. Anybody can adopt that ideology, and anyone can adopt the savagery that goes along with it. So I think it's good on a few different levels. You know what I mean?
Hmm. Yeah, we'll play that again in the future, Dave. You know, it's good. you know, we'll plug.
Thank
we'll
you,
plug
Jan.
It, won't we, Dave? We'll plug it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
because
brilliant
everything
find.
Was said on there actually does happen. It's true. It is true.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they feel it.
So
yeah, they
there
feel
you
it.
Go.
Ready for it.
Thank
all
you
right.
for that, Dave. What? I was, it surprised me. I wasn't sure that we were going to play that then, but it was done in the best possible taste.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Now, there's something, Jeff, that you and I wanted to get to both, and you know, we're going to switch it over a little bit here. You know, this is something that has been just boiling all around the net for the last few days, and this has to do with one of our congresspeople over here in the United States, Ilhan Omar, and I want to play it now, Jeff, so that you and I will have plenty of time to comment on it. And then we can move on to other things. But I know you wanted to talk about it. Jan definitely wants to talk about it. So Thursday, you know, we might have some more on it. There, you know, there are still headlines reverberating off of it. There's a brand new video apparently out there of something else this jihadi woman said. And I'm calling her a jihadi. And
well, she is,
here goes,
David, isn't
Jeff,
found an evolution.
Yeah, absolutely.
She is a jihadist.
She is a jihadi. Yeah. All right, man. Guys, this is 2 minutes and 30 seconds long. This is a story off of Breitbart that was published on the 11th. Okay, here we go.
New York Post puts Ilhan Omar on blast for downplaying 9/11 terror attacks. By Joshua Kaplan on April 11, 2019. The New York Post on Thursday called out Representative Ilhan Omar, DMN, for downplaying the terror attack of September 11, 2001. Publishing a front-page photo of the World Trade Center engulfed flames. Here's your something, the Post's headline reads, with the subheader, 2,977 people dead by terrorism. The front-page cover is a direct rebuke of Omar's recent remarks at a private fundraiser for the Council on American-Islamic Relations, CAIR, of Greater Los Angeles, in which she described 9/11 as a day in which some people did something. Omar urged attendees of the CAIR gathering to raise hell and make people uncomfortable to combat what she described as Muslim Americans being treated as second-class citizens following the terror attacks. CAIR was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something, and then all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties, said Omar, without offering any evidence to back up her claim. You can't just say that today someone is looking at me strange, that I am going to try to make myself look pleasant. You have to say that person is looking at me strange, I am not comfortable with it. I am going to talk to them and ask them why. Appearing Wednesday on CBS Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Omar lamented Fox News' criticism of her remarks, pointing to it as a so-called double standard. This kind of double standard really is quite, you know, offensive, and is very much embedded in a lot of our culture these days, where you will have people get, come after minorities for things that they say. They might have insinuate, but no one goes after people like the folks on Fox and Friends that actually say those words, she said. It's not about insinuation, right? They actually said that I might not be an American. My loyalties might not be to this country. But I get called out. They don't. They get to keep their show. In response, Colbert suggested the unfair attacks on Omar were due to racism and being a woman. I think because you're a Muslim, because you're a woman, because you're a person of color, you're given less latitude than somebody like me, he said. You see this outrage when I speak the truth. Everyone else's truth is allowed, but my truth can never be, Omar replied.
That's Zakiya. There you go. I think I've got a response to that. Zakiya.
Go ahead, Jeff.
What she's saying was using the old art of Zakiya, meaning that she can lie to better the cult, the death cult, Islam. And that's exactly what she was doing, and she knew exactly what she was doing to draw attention to the death cult Islam. Zakiya. This is what someone once said, going back, one of these clerics of them, they said, the better, you know, the better the lie with Zakiya, the stronger the argument in Zakiya, the better for Islam. That's what he done. That was a cleric. This was going about a few years ago now, though. And she is showing how she uses her Zakiya to go up against the great people of the United States. The great people. And yes, it just wasn't the people. She said a few people done something. A few people killed different nations across the world in those buildings and on the planes. We must never forget. Let's not forget how many children died. There was quite a hell of a lot of children that died.
Certainly.
But she doesn't want to talk. She says a few people don't say. It's quite obvious that she does not respect the feelings of the people of the country. Give her a status, brought her in from the hellhole where she was, give her a status, and now she sits in a very powerful position that, if I had any information, there's no way that I would present it. I would plead the fifth. If I was front of her and anybody else, I would turn my back on them all and say, I'm sorry, I do not recognise this, especially with that person sitting there, and I would name her, and I will not, and I'm going to plead the fifth because of her. I do not trust her. She goes against all the values of this great nation of mine. That's me if I was American, Dave. And I was brought in front of the committee. I would turn my back on it and maybe be subpoenaed. I don't care. I'd rather go to prison than actually to speak any words to her. And I do know a lot of Republicans feel the same. I know because a lot of them have spoke out against this sort of thing. They're absolutely disgraceful.
It is. It is, Jeff. And there's no way I would impart any information. Certainly to her that I didn't want spread all over the place. I mean, Congress isn't the most trustworthy body in the world when it comes to not leaking classified information as it is, and it's even less trustworthy when it's someone. It's even less trustworthy when it's someone whose loyalty is to Islam. Now, when she talks about how the people on Fox and Friends don't lose their show because they speculate about whether or not she's an American. Well, you know what? In the United States of America, that kind of speculation is allowed. That's called free speech. And if you can't deal with free speech, then you don't need to be in this country. You need to remove yourself to another country.
Well, your First Amendment covers that, doesn't it, Dave, if I remember rightly?
It does. It does, yeah. If you can't cope with free speech, then move to a country. Yeah, if you can't cope with free speech, then move to a country that doesn't have free speech. Okay, that's number one. And, it is perfectly acceptable, to my mind, to question her loyalty to the United States of America, because we know that if you are quote unquote a good Muslim, your first loyalty is to Islam. You know, there are secondary loyalties to countries. We see that all over the world, of course. But your first loyalty, excuse me, is to Islam. You know, that's just the way that it is for Muslims. And she talks about this is one thing that I was speaking about to Kaiser. And guys, this is a show I'm going to be on in the near future. Okay, this is a gentleman that whose show I'm going to be on in the future here, and I'm just going to read that. You know, we're talking here about. Excuse me, let me get to this. We're talking here about revolution. Sorry, guys. Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Revolution Radio. Now, this is something that I was talking about. You know, this is called projection, what the left does. Okay. And this is why the left and Islamists get along so well together. They get neck deep in certain actions. And then they accuse others of them. And this is what Omar was doing. Oh, there's a double standard when it comes to Mohammedans. We're being treated badly by non-Muslims. And Jeff, you live in the UK. You know this to be the case. And we just talked about this earlier. Okay, I cannot think of a more coddled, more pandered to, more legally empowered group of people now in the Western world, in the civilized world, than Mohammedans. You know, they get breaks when it comes, you know, when it comes to sentencing. Now, Tim Burton, who was with this show for years, pointed this out. When it comes to sentencing, to be a Mohammedan in the UK is not an aggravating circumstance, and it's not, you know, it's not just a flat thing that doesn't mean anything. It's a mitigating circumstance. If you're a Muslim in the UK, you get a lighter sentence usually than someone who is not a Muslim. And what Omar and all of the Mohammedans want is for this to be the case throughout the entire civilized world. Okay, but in order for that to happen, they have to keep on playing the victim card, which she was doing. But she chose to do it in a lousy way. You don't start out with your victim claim by saying, oh, some people did something. When the event that happened, this something that she was talking about, and by the way, there's a picture of the New York Post front page in the slides, everybody. When that something is an event that, as Jeff and I discussed earlier, was my generation's version of Pearl Harbor. You know, this was tremendous, and yes, as Jeff said, there were people from many countries.
We'll never forget, Dave.
That died in
anybody.
Yeah.
I'll go. You know, when we said Pearl Harbor, because it came out of the blue. It was unexpected. No one expected this devastation that was going to unfold before everybody's eyes. It was as we said, and I've said many times, it was like watching one of these disaster movies unfold, wasn't it, Doug? But please come continue what you're saying, brother.
Well, no, Jeff, you're right, and not only was it like watching a disaster movie, it was literally, for a lot of us, it certainly was for me, a psychological speed bump. You know how your life just kind of moves along, Jeff. Working,
yeah,
living, that kind of thing. And then once in a while, an event happens where everything just stops. And that for me was 9/11. You know, the example that I give a lot of times when we do the 9/11 shows is, when I heard about it, I was sitting in an eye doctor's office. I just had a surgery where I had one of my retinas spot welded back, and I was in there for a post-op visit, and I was talking to my brother, you know, who had driven me up there, and to this day, I can't remember what I was talking about, because once that news happened, once it came over the radio that they were listening to at their reception desk, okay, and we found out that there was something wrong, and then, of course, as the day went on, it got worse and worse and worse. To this day, yeah, I can remember some stuff that I had been speaking to my brother about maybe the day before, whatever. But on that morning, nothing. I can't remember a thing I was talking to him about. Not one thing.
No. How anybody can forget the severity of what we see. People dying as we was watching. We knew that people were struggling and fighting to survive. And to people to actually be so distressed that they would throw themselves, that they'd rather throw themselves out of the building. And the thing that also went through my mind, Dave, as we was discussing this before, what is their thoughts as they was falling? It was a great height a lot of them fell, wasn't it, Dave?
Oh, yeah.
What must be
yeah.
their thoughts? I hope this is quick. I'm going to miss my kids so much. Oh, I'll do it. You know, dear Lord, please make it quick. I mean, and she comes out and says some people done something.
Yeah, yeah. Decriminalizing the whole thing.
Goes beyond contempt. And maybe this is what she... Does she want a total war, all-out war with Islam and the free world? Because people like her are creating this scenario. Well, that will be. And they won't come off any better out of it, Dave. I can't help it. It's people like her, and she does it for a purpose. She done it when she spoke
of care. Yeah.
She spoke because she knew how this would affect everybody out there.
Of course.
You know, some poor people, they can never get over what happened to their sons, their daughters, their husbands, their wives. No one
they
can
love, they love to twist that knife that they've stuck in us, Jeff. This is part of the psychology of Mohammedans.
Yeah.
They love to do this. But I do think I have a bit of good news surrounding all this, and that is that I've seen some speculation that the Democrats have only about a 50-50 chance of holding on to the House of Representatives going into 2020. And in a way, I'm grateful for this woman for two reasons. Number one, I'm grateful to her in that she is showing the American people one of the true faces of Islam, you know, that face of Islam that you know, is completely callous and has no regard for life. That's the first thing I'm grateful for her when it comes to. And the second thing is people like her and AOC are turning people off of Democrats so fast that I think that, yes, if she keeps on opening her mouth like she's doing, the House of Representatives could very well change hands again in 2020, you know, because
each one of these things,
she does. Yeah, you know, I'm thinking she's going to. And I know that our brothers and sisters in the UK, you guys can understand what we're going through, because there have been MPs, Muslim MPs over there, that have made similar statements and have said outright that it is their intention to flood Parliament with Muslims to a point where the UK will just become an Islamic Republic. They, you know, Jeff. In fact, years ago, we played audio of them saying these things, man.
This is
the danger. It is, yeah.
It's so something that I didn't talk to you to discuss this before, Dave, but I wanted to talk about it now because of something I thought I need to talk about. When the Afghan War. Was it the Afghan? One of the wars was over, and there was some Americans trying to get back home, and there wasn't resources to help them. And they were sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. All of a sudden, someone said, "We've got some planes, and we're going to help you get you home." And that is what happened. And I've got to say that the person who helped them was your president, President Trump. He had a fleet of planes at the time, and he helped them home. And one of these GIs, whoever he was, this gentleman, said that this is the reason why I vote for this man, and I'll vote for him whatever. That's just something I want to share because of the what's going on in the Democratic Party just goes beyond any belief of anybody. And you've got a good president who's, he said what he was going to do. He's been promising things. Some things have been a bit tough, especially when someone decided to put their thumbs down at the last moment on the health issues. You know I'm talking about, don't.
Right. Oh, yeah. Healthcare thing. Yeah.
But you've got a great president he's probably done more in 2 years than, I mean, I don't know presidents you've had, Dave, but I think he's done so much in that short time than any of them has ever done. I might be wrong, and if I'm wrong, please slap me on the back of the wrist, Dave. But he's been great. Yes, he can be controversial, different things he's saying. I did like his thoughts about maybe some of these illegal immigrants and that. Maybe, we've got problems. We've got terrible problems. I think the best way to do it, I mean, we know the Democrats would be really quite happy if we send them to their sanctuary cities. Why not, Dave? They've got their open arms. They said, we'll welcome anybody. And of course, everybody, I know you can't, this illegal. Why is it illegal? There was some talk about earlier that it's not illegal to do it. He's got every right to do it, Dave, if they want to.
You know what, Jeff? No. You know what, Jeff? Now, I've got a thing that I was given a long time ago. It's a map of everywhere where President Obama sent all of the quote-unquote Syrian refugees, all of the Mohammedans in this country, the way he spread them out into the medium and smaller sized cities and towns. And of course, the strategy there, in my opinion, was so that they would grow their populations and take over those congressional districts. All right.
Yep.
So if that wasn't illegal back then this isn't illegal. And it brings up something.
Dave, you know, I'll take your word over it. So you would say that your president has got every right to do that because Obama done the same sort of thing, except he sent them to places that he knew he could get them to. They'll probably be voting, as you say, to get these people on, get their seats and that. So, let's see how it pans out. I always feel very strong about this, Dave. And of course, the Democrats don't want to help one way or the other, just letting this thing fester and get worse. And it's affecting your country, isn't it, Dave? This is the thing about it. The border patrols are just overwhelmed with how many of them are coming through. And they can only hold them for 20 days. That's right, Dave, only 20 days. And then they've got to release them. So why not? Some of them said, getting them to the places. Well, you know, there's money one way or the other can be used to transport them to the sanctuary cities. I'm sure there'd be a big party for them. So what's Nancy worry? Oh, of course, Nancy's worried because... hers is a sanctuary city, isn't it?
It is.
Well, maybe she's got plenty of room outside where she lives. I don't know, Dave. I mean, that's a good idea for you, President.
Well, part of the horrible deal that was made with the Democrats was that so many of these people, instead of being ejected from our country, are going to be moved into the interior. It's like, and this is a great way to go back on that deal. And follow the law, and just say, okay, well, if we're gonna move them into the interior of the country, let's move them to the sanctuary cities, the places that said they wanted them in the first place, But the resistance we're running into is the same resistance that, you guys have in the UK with some of these spoiled elitists over there. Bring all the Mohammedans over here. Open the borders. So borders stink. We hate borders. That's fine and dandy until they move into their neighborhoods. And then suddenly that's not so fine and dandy.
Dave, I think your president, he's got his finger on the pulse there. Really. Good on your president, Dave. Just a shame that we haven't got him in this country because of all the issues that we got, especially where the Brexit was concerned and the betrayal of the people.
Oh, yeah.
He would have never let that happen. He was for Brexit. No, he wants to do trade with this country. It's what he promised, didn't he, Dave? He said that. I've got a great deal. I've got a great deal when this is all over.
Of course,
unfortunately, Theresa May went along with our elitist friends and the betrayal Well, the betrayal was set in years ago, Dave. Let's be honest, as soon as we got our Brexit, they was planning. So, Dave, I'm sorry, I've taken away a bit of what we was
going to be discussing.
You haven't taken away anything, Jeff.
You've
so much to talk about this evening. And also, Dave, that demonstration with the Soldier F Friday with the Rolling Thunder demonstration was just unbelievable. That's something we wanted to talk about. I don't know if I've overrun it or we should have just held on a little bit, but we just needed to talk about that. There were so many... of course, the press was making all stupid things. There's only a couple of hundred. This, you muppets!
Couple of
there
hundred.
Was at least 22,000 bikes on the road that day. Veterans was on the road, and the roar of the motorbikes, it sounded like thunder. It was unbelievable. Dave, you've seen the videos yourself, brother.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen
love
that.
Them.
Most
love
of
them.
Our great listeners and people out there, you've seen it. It was just incredible. But this is how unhappy when you get veterans coming on the streets doing what they do. And then you've got the Brexiteers week in, week out now on the streets of London. And this is going to continue. It's not going to get any. It's not going to get any better. We're going to see. There's going to be thousands upon thousands of people. We're not putting up with this betrayal. We the people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, we can do blockades. It's the working man. We can blockade the whole country. We can actually put a ring around London and to stop anything coming in and anything going out. That's how easy we could do things. The people, the working class people of this country that makes the nation tick.
Well, they forgot about them. Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
you look at,
I'm sorry, Dave, I'm probably going ahead of myself, but...
Not really, Jeff, because you're talking about, this is the European Spring. I don't care what the press says because, I mean, again, let's also recognize the French patriots. This is the 22nd week that they've been demonstrating in France. The people have had enough of this.
It's revolution,
of this garbage.
One of them was talking the other day. He said, this is just not a demonstration. This is a revolution. What you're seeing is a revolution unfolding. And I see some of the footage and some of the things you don't normally see. It makes you realize this is a true revolution that is happening in France once again. Mm-hmm. So
I would love to see kick Macron out. I really would. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I think most of us would, same as I'd like to see someone kick out May and the establishment.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's associated with this new world order trying to bring this about. It's never going to... The New World Order, whatever they're trying to do, the conspiracy, and mind me and Dave, not for conspiracy, but we've looked what's happened at New Zealand, we've looked what's happened to Canada, we've looked across the globe, haven't we, Dave? We know exactly.
Yeah.
This is collusion. This is what they've been planning. And people say, what's going on? It's collusion. They was meant...
Yeah.
They sat around... discuss this, don't you think they didn't? Because they did. They knew exactly how to do it and how that they could cause the problems that they're doing. And more chaos the better in their eyes, because then they try to bring about martial law. I thought she's going to kick them hard in the teeth very soon. Well, it's true, isn't it, Dave? We know what happened with the French Revolution.
Exactly.
In the end, the people said, we are the people, and we're not putting up with this. And good old Gilly, he was out there doing his job when he died. You know, good old Gilly. I called him Gilly. You know.
Well, he was a real big...
Good old chap.
Well, Jeff,
to bring him out from dust.
Well, you know, he really was a cut-up. You know, Jeff, that's a... just chopping and changing
it. Off, wasn't it, Dave? Oh!
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. Hi. Well, you know what, man? The show is almost over, man. Well, we got about 10 minutes left before the show is done.
Oh, my goodness me, Dave.
Yeah.
Where did the time go? I don't know. It's we have so much to talk about. I say we could be talking for hours.
We'll have more on Thursday.
Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, more on Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. We've had someone who's been sitting here with us all this evening. I'll just give out the last four digits. No, I won't, because I think this was the one that was sitting with us. I think it's a Washington number.
Thank you for sitting with us.
I hope you've enjoyed the show this evening, and we really
appreciate you listening in studio, hanging with us tonight.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, well, no, I'm just thanking the listener in the studio, and thanks to anybody that's in chat, and thanks to people listening in podcast too. You know, that's where we do, you know, as I say, most of our business. And I guess I'll give you my final thoughts, Jack,
Angel Duds has shared the link tonight as well. Our Angel.
Yeah.
Bless you, Angel.
Thank you for that. Bless you indeed. Yes, thank you. Yeah, now, I want to say to everybody, please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page. That's Spreaker.com. And that runs through SHR Media, and I'm also on the Western Free Radio Network. My show times are 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, and I have new shows. That's 6 p.m. BST, and I have new shows on at midnight Eastern in the U.S. and at 5 a.m. BST in the U.K. Right now, I'm running my 6th anniversary special. I want to thank everybody who's listened to me for 6 years. I don't know how you put up with me, but, you know, I love you guys. And
mate, we've had Smokey. I've not been in the chat. I haven't seen that Smokey joined us this evening. My dear friend Smokey. Bless you, brother. I'm sorry that I didn't say hello earlier. Always good to see you, brother. God, Dave, sorry.
Yeah. Hello, Smokey. Yeah. Good to see you, Smokey. We're gonna have a little bit of work for you, and I'll get into that in just a bit. I'll get into that in just a bit. But you know, I'm running my 6th anniversary special this week, and on Saturday, I'm gonna be starting my yearly special called The Way Back. If you haven't heard this show, you should listen to it, and you should pass it around. And yes, I'll be hanging around for about a week after that to discuss it with anybody that wants to do that. It's the most important thing I've ever done. And, I just want to say to the people also, a little programming note. After the 25th, I'm going to be out of here, for a little bit of vacay, and I'm going to come back to do the show on May the 12th on a Sunday. And that means that there are going to be a couple of archive shows on the Thursdays that I'm gone, because Jeff's going to be taking a little bit of time off too, just relax a bit, and that's going to be good for Jeff. I'm just looking here to get some dates for you guys so that you'll have some idea of where we're at. Yeah, I'll be here the last time on the 25th. Okay, and Smokey, brother, we're going to need you on Sunday, the 28th at 2:30 p.m. your time, if you can make it.
That's my sister's birthday as well, Dave. That's my sister's birthday. Yay!
Oh, well, happy birthday to you, Sue. Yeah.
That'd be the 28th of May. What am I talking about?
Oh, okay. The 28th at 2:30 your time, and also on Sunday the 5th. At 2:30 your time, Smokey, if you can make that one.
He says he can't wait, Dave.
Excellent. Okay, good, Smokey. Thank you. Otherwise, there will be archive shows on the 2nd and 9th of May. Those will be archive shows, but we'll dig around, we'll find some of our best ones, and there you go. We'll take good care of you guys. And keep bringing you EDL radio shows and things of that nature. So, really, Jeff,
to tell the listeners how our format's going to change a little bit, Dave? Because we are SH Media, and whatever, we're going to have a part of this with the show that we're doing. Would you like to let the listeners know exactly how that works before we move on to the last few minutes of the show this evening?
Okay, well, what's going to happen here, guys, is in May, probably again right around the 12th, when we do our show on Sunday, May the 12th, and moving on, the format's going to change very slightly because, I'm going to fuse my show a little bit with this one. But there have been plenty of Unpleasant Blind Guy shows where I put on EDL radio episodes that I've done with Jeff and Jan, and you know, we've done some really good stuff, and that's the way it's going to be for the foreseeable future. And you know, on the Spreaker side, on my side, I'll keep my regular show times, and it'll all be under the Unpleasant Blind Guy. It'll just be basically these EDL radio episodes kind of cut up a little bit, and you know, you guys will get pretty much a different one more or less every day. That's the plan right now. Over here on blogtalkradio.com, well, it'll pretty much be the same thing, same show times. It'll be the English Defense League radio show. The only thing that'll be different for you guys over here will be that we'll be running promos for SHR Media during the shows. And we will try each show to do one story from the United States of America, kind of like we did today.
I got a few then tonight, Dave.
yeah, we have. You know, and just cover that because you know, again, Jeff's asked me for a little bit of help, and you know, I want to do that, and you know, we can't afford to think about just one country anymore, because this evil is migrating all over the planet, and you know, thanks to Sean, Clint, and BZ over at SHR Media, and thanks to Jared Day at the Western Free Radio Network. Yeah, and you know, for agreeing to all this and for putting up with it on Jared Day's part, and you know, we're it's onward and forward for us, and I'm looking forward to the new format and all of that. So the only thing I have left yet to say
expansion. We could have a slight expansion, didn't we, Dave? You know, it just makes things a little bit more interesting for everybody. So we'll do what we do. But, Dave, once again, I've got to thank you once again for the slides tonight. It was awesome. And for all the great works that you do behind the scenes. And Al Jan, not forgetting Al Jan, the Tornado Rene, with all the great works. Awesome lady. I've got an awesome team, guys. I don't know what I'd do with that. They are brilliant. But, Dave, just want to finish up your final thoughts, bruv.
Yeah, I only have two things left to say. And that is, one, check me out soon to be on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And that's going to be with Kaiser Stoff and I just want to say the Foot Soldiers, Angels, and Patriots, and Brexiteers, everybody involved with the English Defense League and the Brexiteers. You know, God bless, be blessed. And no surrender. Now, Jeff, back to you, and I'll shut my face hole.
And no surrender ever, Dave, as usual. And once again, Smokey, thanks for joining. My apologies, I didn't get you earlier, me old mate. You know, it's like I get chatting away and talking to Dave, and before I know it, I'm ignoring what I should be checking out. Smokey's forgiven me anyway. He understands. He knows what I'm like. But anyway, we'll see you again this Thursday. I've got to thank you all for tuning in to the English Defence League radio show tonight and listening on your podcast. Sometimes you can't be here, but I know that you listen on our podcast because we see it. It's at the stat show it does. So once again, thank you so much. We'll be back again this Thursday with another show. All you Brexiteers out there, keep going, brothers. Keep doing what you're doing. And, of course, Foot Soldiers, Angels, everybody associated with the English Defence League radio show, theenglishdefenceleague.org. Don't forget our website. Brilliant website. If you can't find us, check the website at englishdefenceleague.org.uk. We have an episode every time we do a show. It's there on our website. And she's told me, you've got about 41, whatever the time is. So with that, for myself and Dave, from our team, from everybody associated with the English Defence League radio show. Time to go underground. God bless, and be vigilant, be safe.
Good night,
Jeff. Ever.
Good night, Jeff. Good night,
Jeff.
Good night,
Jeff. Good night, Jeff. Good night, Jeff. Good night, Jeff. Good night, Jeff. Good with your boys brigade, and I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course I don't mind. My new deal of tests was for Tommy's wife. And the public gets what the public wants, but I want nothing. I have to dust, I'm going underground. Going
back at me. I'm too busy dodging through your back. To see here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and the place you're trapped. And the lies will shut down and their promises come. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
Go. We are now into the archive part of the show, but once again, I've got to thank everybody that's been very supportive of the show and being a part of what we do. Thank you all so much, guys, and listen on the podcast. As I say, you just go to www.englishadvancedleague.org.uk, and you will also have this, like tonight's show. You'll see that there in a few hours' time. If you haven't had time to listen to it in tonight, it's always there. It catches on any of the podcasts that we do. We've got a great catalogue of all the shows we've done through the time, and some there with Tommy Robinson, who spoke on the radio show twice. So there you go. If you want to go back and check through our catalogue, we've got plenty to look at. So for myself, as I say, from Dan and Jan, we'll be back again this Thursday. So take care, stay safe, and as I say, be vigilant out there, guys. Be vigilant out there. No surrender. No surrender ever. This is the English Defence League Radio Show signing off for tonight. God bless you all.